is certainly something that I was not cognizant of as far as stem cells having the reproductive abilities that they have and being able to be transformed into virtually any part of the body after certain manipulations were accomplished. But it certainly did not disagree with anything that I have taught in this church for the last 28 years since I've been here. As a young man, I wanted answers to a lot of questions. I knew God created the heaven and the earth. For that I was absolutely positive. Exactly how the dinosaurs, various aspects of the age of the earth, mingled in with what the Bible taught, I knew it had to. I wasn't satisfied with a lot of the answers I got from a lot of different people and claiming that the earth was a very young planet. The earth is not a very young planet. The earth is a very old planet, but man has not been on this earth as long as the earth existed. Now, I'm going to review very quickly what I've covered for several weeks. I regret that I cannot go through it in intricate detail because I do want to get to some new material this morning. When God created the heaven and the earth, there was an original earth. And then I showed you how creation fell. And then I showed you how God reshaped, refurbished the earth in 7 literal days. On the 6th day, he created man, and on the 7th day, he rested. I went in and talked about when God cursed the earth because before the flood, man had reached the same state of utter sinfulness that he has reached today. So God flooded the earth and killed every human being on it except Ham, Shem, and Japheth, Noah, and their wives, a total of 8 people. So today we have the present earth. The Bible tells us that there's going to be a tribulation earth, and I believe that will probably occur within the next 8 years. At least that's my opinion. It will be followed by a millennial earth. Then that final millennial earth, 1,000 years of the reign of Christ on this earth, is going to be followed by a fiery destruction of the earth by a type of fire with which we're really not familiar. It's a type of fire that completely consumes, not what we're used to seeing a house burning, but something more like power laser that emanates directly from the person of God. And finally, there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. When God first created the earth, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, you had all sorts of different rock layers, and there was one landmass. Geologists call it Pangaea. But there was one landmass that God created, and it had the different types of rock layer in it. These are Israeli designations. Cenotian, Turonian, Cenomanian, Nubian. Then God, because of Satan's sin, which I've covered thoroughly, caused a cataclysmic event to occur, and earth was greatly reshaped. The valleys fell down, the mountains rose. Then we had an earth that was pushed together, and many folds and faults were created in it. And then man lived on this new refurbished earth until he reached a state of utter sinfulness, and God flooded the earth and brought us down to the present earth. I've told you for a long time that Satan is a manipulator of God's creation. Satan could not create life, but Satan could take the original life forms that God made, which were very simple life forms. This is the Grand Canyon. Down in the bottom of it, you have life. You have rock with no life in it whatsoever. Then all of a sudden, you start to run into different types of life deposits, small one-cell types embedded in the rock. And as you come on up, they get more and more complicated. When God first created the earth, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created small, simplistic, one-cell life forms. They existed, and they flourished. Satan took those life forms and tried to manipulate them. He is a manipulator. He cannot create life itself, but he can take the life that God originally created, and he can manipulate it through stem cell types of activities and produce a race on this earth for him. At least he tried. The fall of Satan and one-third of his angels. I've already elaborated on this in the past fully. I'm just merely calling it to memory. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The only way that Satan could be like the Most High is to do what God alone can do, to actually generate life from nothing. Take a stone and give it life. Jesus said, except these people had said what they said, even the stones would have spoken out. Satan can't do that. So in order to be like the Most High, he had to create life himself. Then we find in Ezekiel 28:14-17, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. God put Satan over this present creation. Long ago, these one-cell life forms in a perfect creation in whom there was no imperfection. And I have set thee so. Thou wast up on the holy mountain of God, the government of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. They stones of fire refer to the stars that the devil walked up and down in. He was placed over this present day universe, and he was the protecting angel of the creation of Almighty God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. What he did was to try to take the life forms that God had made, simple one-cell life forms, and begin to change them through different types of manipulation that he has to do with DNA, enzymes, and other types of things that we hear a lot about today. And he began to create these things, change them by what is commonly referred to as evolution, to produce a creature that could rule over the earth from him. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain, the government of God, out of heaven, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, the one that I placed over the creation, the universe, from the midst of the stones of fires, from the midst of all the heavens and its stars. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they shall behold thee. And he said unto them, notice what Christ said. He said, and he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Luke 10:18. Now in Revelation 12:4, we're told, and his tail, the tail of the dragon, who is Satan, drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The stars of heaven are the angelic beings. When Lucifer fell, because he tried to manipulate the life forms on this planet, God let the angels make a choice. The angels are forever sealed in it. Once they made it, there's no going back. It's just like when you receive Christ as your Savior. Once you're saved, there's no going back. And a third part of the angels chose to follow Lucifer, and they were cast down to the earth. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm convinced that a lot of the things that are going on now, and I told you this a long time ago, this is an old slide. I told you the first thing that they would probably clone were frogs. Well, in 1952, they cloned a tadpole. Then in 1962, they cloned frogs. This had happened before I came to this church. I knew eventually they would probably clone a warm-blooded animal, because that is the one thing Satan had not been able to clone up until that time, which we'll talk about in a few moments. Now you see a lot of different things about stem cells. I didn't know, I taught biology, but this stem cell research is something that is of recent origin, and it answered a lot of my questions. These stem cells actually can reproduce just about anything in the human body. To David Anderson, a leading stem cell researcher, his work in the laboratory brims with wonder and promise. But don't ask him to explain the basic science behind it. A lot of research involves adding molecular compounds into the bubbling cauldron of the Petri dish and seeing what happens. This is a microgram of a human embryo. These little stem cells can be manipulated, and they can produce a finger, or they can produce a nose, or they can produce a liver, or they can produce different types of organs within the body. They're quite remarkable. Now I know what Satan manipulated. I've told you for all these years that he manipulated. I just didn't know exactly how he did it. Now you can go through the process, and you can actually clone and produce a human being. But remember, this is not the creation of original life. This is not taking something where life does not exist and suddenly making life exist. This is not suddenly someone breathing into a lifeless piece of clay and suddenly it becomes a living being. And God breathed into the Adamus' nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is taking what is already there and manipulating it. Then when I began this series, I read this to you. Man-bred hybrid, Beyond Talking Stage by Scott Foster, the Edmonton Journal. He says, amid all the advances in genetic manipulation, I've told you for 28 years that Satan genetically manipulated the original life forms that were created here. It's true, I'd never heard of stem cells. I taught high school biology, but nobody else had ever realized how it worked. Now we're seeing for the first time how it works, where you can actually take the stem cells out of a human being and from those stem cells produce different parts of the body. For 25 of my 28 years at Dardanelle Missionary Baptist Church, I have taught that Satan manipulated the life forms that God had originally created in Genesis 1:1. This isn't something that's new with me. And that was the sin which caused him to be cast out of the third heaven. The scriptures indicate his sin involved wanting to be like God. There are several things that make God unique, but the most unique is that he is the creator of all things. In order to be like God, it was absolutely essential that Satan be able to create life. He could not. So he began to manipulate the DNA and stem cells in God's Genesis 1:1, one-cell creations. That's what he began to do. You see, Satan understood all this a long time ago. He was able to produce things. He was unable to procreate life. He couldn't bring it out of nothing. So for millions of years, he manipulated what God procreated initially, producing different types of evolving creatures, finally producing a hairy man-like creature who walked erect. I believe he produced Australopithecus, which Leakey and others have found in Africa, a hairy being that walked erect. I believe that he produced different life forms, perhaps even the different types of life forms that came right up to the creation. I believe he may well have produced the Neanderthal. That may have been the final stage in his development. But there was one thing missing in his creations. He could not bring a soul to life in the individual. He could bring them up to a sort of a human form that had enough sense to bury its dead outside the cave so they wouldn't stink. He could bring up a subhuman life form that could actually paint pictures on a wall. But Satan could never actually produce a life from nothing and put his own soul in it. He was unable to procreate life, so for billions of years he manipulated what God procreated, producing different types of evolving creatures, finally producing a hairy man-like creature who walked erect. There were some people over at Arkansas Tech that knew I believed this, and they said I was just kind of a loony bin. But quite frankly, I'm not. You say, well, all crazy people say that. Well, I know that. You're just going to have to make up your own mind. God created life. Satan's stem cell manipulation of what God created has always been occurring down through the ages. In Luke 10 and 18, Jesus said, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He fell from heaven because he tried to do something that would make him God, to actually create life initially, and only God can do that. Now notice what he said in John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. God is the only one who can actually create life from nothing. In Revelation 12:4, we're told, in his tail, Satan drew the third part of the stars of heaven, angels, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman Mary, who represented Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. He tried to destroy the Christ child over and over again. Revelation 13:15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. This is the false prophet. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Satan can produce what I call imitation life forms. And I felt that eventually he would be able to create a warm-blooded life form. For a long time, he couldn't create a warm-blooded life form. Finally, he has gotten to where he can. That's why I knew I wasn't surprised when you had the first clone. Now, let's take a look at Satan's ability back in the time of Genesis before he had really learned to do what he's doing today. Exodus 7:10 through 12, and then 20 through 22. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. That was a real, crawling, life-existing serpent. It was a clone. It was something that Satan had created, because these Egyptian magicians are mentioned in the New Testament, and they are mentioned as being servants of Satan. So when Moses went in and cast down his serpent, it became a real serpent. It became God's serpent. It became a genuine serpent. It had the life stamp of God on it. It was God's serpent. It was original creation. Now take a look at what Lucifer did. Verse 11, Exodus 7:10-12. Verse 11. The Pharaoh also caused the wise men and the sorcerer, now the magicians of Egypt. These are Satan's men. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. They came forward, and they had rods, and they were about to cast them down, and Satan was about to create from them imitation life. This is not the type of life that God creates. It is a manipulation through what Satan has learned of the life forms that are already here. And notice, these are cold-blooded. Verse 12. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Okay, these are serpents. They have blood flowing through them. And they're real. But they are not serpents that were created directly by God, by the power of God. These are merely manipulations of life forms that God previously created. Now notice the superiority of God's creation over Satan's. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So you see that God's creation is genuine. It's not imitation. It's real. It's not fake. It's not counterfeit. And it is a superior type of creation, and it swallowed up the serpents that the magicians had created by the power of Satan. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the waters that were in the river. We're now looking at Exodus 7, 20 through 22. Satan learned how to take the original one-cell life forms. He learned how to manipulate them, how to eventually create other forms out of them. And he came up with things that were cold-blooded. He came up eventually with the dinosaurs. He kept experimenting through other types of life forms. He kept trying to get a change. Why? God wanted a man on this earth through which God could rule and reign. And God had in his purpose all along to create a man to live on this earth. Satan wanted to create a being who would rule over the earth for him. And in the final analysis, he also wanted someone that looked somewhat like us and that walked erect and that he could indwell. And then this could be his creation. Now we're not talking about blood in which the life is. Satan was able to counterfeit the blood that God made, and it has life in it. But the life is the original life that God put in it, and Satan could not create that life itself. So look in Exodus 7, 20 through 22. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters were in the river. I want you to notice what happened to the waters that were in the river. And in the sight of his servants, of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The water took on a blood-red color. Did it have life in it? I rather tend to believe that it did. Now notice what it says next. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. I want you to notice what the Pharaoh did. Verse 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So here again we see the magicians who are empowered by Satan and who are able to take water and turn it into blood. Why? How could they do that? Satan had progressed in the billions of years that he worked from taking these one-cell life forms and through a series of manipulations which involved a lot of complex things that, quite frankly, I don't understand. He finally came up with a creature that could walk erect on this earth. It had blood in it, and it did not have a soul. These are all imitation life forms that Satan creates. The original genuine life forms are of God. Now notice what happened next. Exodus 8, 6, and 7. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Now, I knew that I suspected the first thing they would clone would be a frog, because that's what they use in biology in the most elemental labs in high school. They take a frog, and they stretch it out, and they pin it down on a board, and they take out the organs, and they let you look at them, and they leave them inside the frog, and they let you look at them. And a frog is almost so simple. I once said, well, I could almost create a frog. Of course, I couldn't. But it's one of the simpler life forms. Well, the first thing that Satan was able to manipulate, apparently, was a tadpole, because man finally came across what Satan had previously discovered, and he was able to actually clone a tadpole. The next thing he cloned was a frog. Now, I want you to notice, and Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. So these are satanically empowered magicians of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh himself in the Bible is also looked upon as a type of Satan. In any case, up to this point, you've had God have serpents. He created serpents, created blood, then he creates frogs. Well, Satan is able to match him right down the line. Only he takes the original life that God created in the beginning, and he manipulates it to produce these things where God just naturally produces them directly without having to go through all this manipulation. Now notice what happened in verse 17 through 19. And they did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Well, now here for the first time, we've got a sand louse. Now, a sand louse is a very complicated little creature. It's very small. It's very compact. It's warm-blooded. It has an intricate structure, even though it's small. And it is very, very difficult to duplicate. So at this particular point in time, we see the dividing line between God's ability to originally create life just like that. He speaks, boom, it's there. We see God's ability as contrasted with Satan's ability up to this point in time, and to see how far Satan has progressed in imitating God's life forms. He was able to imitate the snakes, the blood, and the frogs. Now, is he going to be able to imitate this sand louse? And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. They were unable to do it. Why? Because Satan at that time was limited and could not duplicate a small, complex, warm-blooded life form. If this were pure magic, then yeah, he could, but this is not. This is a certain type of generic engineering that only Satan can do, because he's a spiritual being, and just as God is a spiritual being and can directly create life, Satan as a spiritual being has the ability to manipulate and to take the structure of the DNA and the generic engineering and to produce up to a certain point. But he could not duplicate this. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They said, this is the finger of God. They make a clear distinction between what Satan has been able to do. He's been able to imitate snakes, imitate blood, imitate frogs, but he cannot imitate this, because the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Meaning when God speaks, when God touches, when God directs, he creates life directly. He can take a stone and turn it into life. He can create life out of nothing. Satan can only take what God originally created, because God created all things and manipulated. And there's a very sharp distinction, because God is the originator of life, and Satan is the manipulator of life forms that God created. We're told in John 1, 2 through 4, all things were made by him. God made all things. Satan can only take those things that God made and manipulate them. He is incapable of directly producing life from nothing. All things were made by him, Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. And without him was not anything made that was made. When you trust in Christ as your Savior, when you come to realize you need a Savior, there is a spiritual transformation that occurs by the finger of God. And the finger of God in the person of his Holy Spirit transforms your inner being. And he gives it new life. And you are born again, touched by the finger of God and by his Holy Spirit. That's what salvation is. Jesus said concerning this particular phenomena, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive, It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. All your flesh can do is, because God gave it the original power, through intercourse, have a seed and a sperm come together, and you can create life, but it's God's life you're carrying on. That's all you can do. But it's only because God gave you the ability to do it. But God can change your inner being and your inner nature and the way you look at things. Sometimes you can see the transformation in a person's life after it happens. Sometimes it takes a long time for it to come out. But when God saves you, what he does is suddenly give you a new heart. What is a new heart? It's a new spirit that's sinless, and a soul that he seals with that spirit, and he protects and watches over and guards that soul until the day of the resurrection. And in the meantime, the soul has to contend with the flesh. And as the soul occasionally yields to the flesh, if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then he forgives the soul. The spirit keeps the soul. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. But only God can create the kind of spiritual life that gives the new birth. All Satan can do is make a counterfeit effort. He has seeds, Satan does, that he plants. And he tries to manipulate people into being something that appear to be Christians. They go to church. They give. They pray. They shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." But they have never in their entire life come to realize they are totally, absolutely helpless and separated from God. That's why Paul said, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I did not save myself. I could not save myself. God saved me, and God gave me life. To repent means to turn toward God. It means you finally see it's a turning. It means you're walking through life. You believe there's a God. You're trying to change your life to conform to what you think God would have you to be. And Satan is helping you with all that he can because he wants you to think you can please God like you are, and you cannot. And finally, when I realized I was totally and absolutely helpless, I turned to God in desperation because I could not love people like I loved myself. I could not love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my mind and all my might and all my soul. It was impossible. And so I turned to God in desperation after having tried so hard to please him. And I cried out to Jesus Christ to save me from what I am. That's when he gave me the new birth. Paul said, testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been born again. Did I do it? No. Did I help do it? No. Then who did it? Jesus Christ. And how did he do it? When I turned in absolute desperation to him and realized I can't make myself eternally alive. I can't give myself the new birth. I can't live above sin. Then I put all my faith in Jesus Christ. And I trusted him. And I asked him to save me. You say, well, how do you know he did? Because he's alive. Your faith, when you pray to Jesus Christ, means that you believe he's alive. You wouldn't pray to a dead man. And when you put all your faith in Christ, he gives you eternal life. And God's life is eternal. It's not counterfeit. It's absolutely genuine, and it's given by God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I have the light of Jesus Christ living inside me. I lived in darkness. Oh, you wouldn't have thought that if you'd known me when I was 12. I went to church, went to Sunday school. I had to go to all that stuff. They made me. And I knew Jesus Christ was God's son. I knew there was a God. And I did try very hard to please him. Finally, when I realized in desperation, I couldn't. I didn't know I was in darkness. I just knew I was headed for hell and something was wrong with me and I didn't know what to do. So I turned to Christ. Now I have the light of Christ in me because he gave me his life. That's the only light I have that's worth anything. I have a light inside me that's Jesus Christ. And he's the one I'm talking to you about now. Am I absolutely positive that all these things I've shown you about the creation were true? No, I'm not. But I'm absolutely positive that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God and that he saved me and sealed my soul. So why did I present all this stuff about creation? You need some answers to questions. I'm giving you an answer to the creation, and I'm doing it as well as I know how. There are many things in the Bible that we're not going to understand until we see Jesus. Now, I want you to think about something as I close this particular series out. Suppose God had written a detailed, intricate account of every exact thing that had happened from the beginning. Just suppose that what I showed you here is correct. Just suppose that's the way it really happened. Suppose God had Moses write that down and put it in the book of Genesis. Do you know who that was written to? The book of Genesis was written by Moses to a group of people wandering around out in the middle of the Sinai who didn't know anything about any of this stuff. Can you imagine how they would have received a technical, detailed explanation of creation? So God gave them what they needed. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the face of God moved upon the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. That's a very simple, straightforward account of creation. I believe it. And on the sixth day, he created man. I believe it. If he had given them all these technical explanations and talked about stem cells, DNA, PDQ, FOBCOD, and IOU, they would have thrown him out on his backside in the sand. So God gave him a very simple explanation. I tell you what faith is. It's simply believing what God said. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. That's all that God requires. But in our colleges and universities, there are a lot of things being taught. And we need answers to those questions. I've given you an answer. Would a college professor accept what I just said? No, he'd say I was a lunatic. But I have taken everything that science has to offer, and I've shown you how it fits in the Bible. So it's something to think about, and I think it's something worth considering. So we'll take a short break and come back for church in a few.